and welcome to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. I'm Tyler.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F.
Yes. Yes, we are.
Our fourth episode regarding Dragon Ball Z.
Yes.
Because we're men.
Five-year-old grown men.
Grown men.
grown men? Okay, yeah. Sure. I'm a 24-year-old and you're a 21-year-old.
16-year-old.
So probably.
16-year-old boy.
Something like that.
Yes.
So, let's start with you. I saw it first already, so you could just you saw it second.
Let's preface this by saying we both saw the English dub in the limited theatrical run, which I didn't get to do last year for Battle of Gods because the...
Because you're an evil, stupid heathen who decided not to get his tickets in time.
There were reasons for this, but I'm not going to go into them on a public podcast.
I'm going to tell you. Basically, what happened was Tyler was trying to feed the homeless, and he ran out of money for food, and he couldn't afford a ticket to go see the movie.
I want to make my homeless charity work anonymous, Chris.
I felt that it needed an explanation. And you weren't explaining it right, so I made sure I told people the reason.
Everyone who's listening to this podcast...
You have a heart of gold, like Golden Frieza. It wasn't funny. Stop laughing at the joke. It wasn't a funny joke.
Okay. So, yeah, we... I think, Chris, much like what happened to the viewers in the audience, before we get to the main event, we should talk about the pre-show, which you would warn me about.
Yes, let's start with the pre-show. So, Tyler W. Moore, I talked to you briefly. Let's go ahead and be honest. I had warned Tyler about something that happened in the pre-show that's extremely cringeworthy, and I want him now to answer this question for me. What in that pre-show was cringeworthy, and who was the voice actress? And why was it Bulma's voice actress?
Since we neglected to give any sort of context here, I'm going to go ahead and say that there was a segment in the pre-show where members of the voice cast were answering trivia questions about Dragon Ball Z in general. And that is where this comes in.
Jesus Christ. She didn't know anything, and she, like, every time would it was so hard to watch. She was just flat bombing.
And listen, it wasn't even that, like, there wasn't even the happy that part there. It was the way that she would talk.
Yes.
And she would sound like a...
Yeah.
I mean, listen, audience. I'm talking to you, audience, not you, Tyler, for a second. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Tyler and I are losers, okay?
Uh-huh.
That's a fact of life.
Yes.
And so we're making fun of somebody right now. So I feel kind of bad for that. But I remind the freaking, in my freaking audience at least, while sitting there going,
ugh,
the entire time. Not because of her answers, but because of the way that she would, like, would talk and the way that she, like, would, like, she'd, like, kind of overdo
I
it.
Think it's
like,
I think it's, it's not cool though. It's probably Zabun.
I think it was the laugh that she had that also didn't help out that much.
I got one right.
Finally.
So I told you, wasn't I correct about that, by the way?
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, Chris, yesterday before I went to go see this, warned me, saying there's this very cringeworthy pre-show that they put together. And everyone in the audience was like, as soon as the guy came up, they were like, ugh. Because they're like, they just want to get home with the movie already.
Yep.
And
there was no point that pre-show. The pre-show was like, just, I don't know why they did that.
I don't know. It's bonus feature stuff. It's like,
yeah,
promotional stuff.
They should have been. And then they're like, oh yeah, here's some hard questions. I'm like, if anybody paid attention, like had their eyes open and awake during Dragon Ball Z the entire time, they would know the answers to these questions. The questions aren't hard.
Who was the last member of the Ginyu Force? Was it Zarbon? Guldo? Someone who's in this movie?
I think it was Guldo. No, it was Zarbon. My bad.
Yeah.
Oops.
Yeah.
Wait, no, it's Vegeta, right? Vegeta was a person.
It's Vegeta!
I don't know, I don't even watch the show, I just kind of voice it. Yeah. Alright, anyway.
But yeah, the pre-show, man, that was pretty hard to watch. Like you had warned me. By the way, while he was warning me about this, he kept giving me false answers as to what it was. Such as, Akira Toriyama does a dance number.
Dance number. I wanted to do the two-step, the Texas two-step up there.
I honestly would rather have seen that.
Oh, dude, I would have like watched the crap out of that. I would have like pirated that immediately.
Yes.
My phone would have come out of my pocket and would have been recording that entire thing. That'd be great.
But yeah, so like that happened. And I gotta say, like, because we had, you know, the unique experience of watching it in the cinema, it's very different from watching another kind of movie, because it's clearly just all fans. Like, no one's like, you know, curiously wandering into Dragon Ball Z Resurrection F.
Okay, in your theater, were there any kids at all, like little kids?
There were a couple.
Yeah, I had, like, I think I maybe had, like, one kid in that entire theater. Like, everybody else was, like, like, high school, college, and then older. Like, just, like, there were people in there that were, like, obviously in their 40s, whatever.
Yeah.
And that's cool, by the way. I don't make, like, disparage anybody. Oh, yeah. For, you know, whatever. It's awesome. I was, like, that's perfect, because that's exactly who I want to, like, kind of audience I would be in. Like, there are people up there that are dressed up like Goku's gi, and then people dressed up in Vegeta stuff. There's like boyfriend and girlfriends up there, like dressed up like as Vegeta and Goku or whatever. People had scouters. I was like sitting there in my lame, dumb shirt that didn't have anything at all to do with Dragon Ball Z. Yeah. I'm just like, oh, I should like bought one for this.
It made me realize that I didn't own any Dragon Ball Z.
Suddenly, I was out of place.
Normally,
those people are out of place in real world.
Yeah, like I was in the line. I got there. I was smart. I got there early because I knew if I
you had a line.
Oh yeah. There. Well, I mean,
I have reserved seats.
Well, like the thing was, I don't think there was a select a seat type thing, because we got there and they basically just said like, oh yeah. Well, because I got there, like, you know, almost an hour early, and they're like, oh, yeah, there's a line of people waiting over there, and, like, there were just, like, two people ahead of me, and so I was the third person, and I kind of got to watch.
That's the best feeling.
It's like, oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, it's like, oh, I get to go in before you. I get better seats than you. Anyway, so I was looking at, like, the line as it kept growing. It's like, these are mostly people my age, and it totally makes sense. Yeah, like, a couple of people had brought their kids. Like, obviously, they had probably shown the show to them, and
I bet you those are the people that had kids or whatever are people that watched the show when they were kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Or whatever, high school age, whatever, junior high, whatever they were. I'd watched the show before and actually had kids and then show their kids. That's one of the coolest things, by the way.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
like... introducing this thing that you watch when you were a kid to your kid, and your kid liking this thing, and it's like, yes. Unless they're being dragged there, which would be very unfortunate, but they need to learn their lessons.
They had the Clockwork Orange set up, and they got his eyes opened up. You're gonna watch Dragon Ball Z, and you're gonna like it.
I mean, they ought to. One very amazing thing about this movie was that Battle of Gods made $50 million over its run. Like that's from Japan and whatever else, Australia, UK, all that. It's already made $55.1 million on a $5 million budget.
Oh yeah.
It's like totally surpassed. Like it's made so much money right there. Just like clearly they're like, okay, we can make another of these movies right here. I hope to make another one like soon. So I'm like, yes. So I just watched. I rewatched Battle of Gods today, so I'm like,
I feel like it should all, the focus should now be going to Super. That's probably a better idea.
Oh yeah, and you can tell by the way that they have a nice budget for Super because the animation there looks beautiful. I'm just like, oh
yeah,
yeah.
So like one last thing about sort of the cinema experience. Like I said, it didn't feel like watching a normal movie. It was like, I've never been to one of these necessarily,
but like something like, you know, Rocky Horror or like The Room, where like everyone kind of knows like all the, you know, every scene. It felt like one of those types of things because like everyone's in on what's like what's happening. And it felt really nice. It was really nice to be a part of it.
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, anyway, onto the movie now.
Onto the movie. Yeah. Let's talk about the ending of the movie real fast.
Okay.
Not the absolute end of the movie, by the way. I'm gonna talk about the post credits thing for a second.
We're gonna talk about the post credits thing first?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, that's perfect. It was great.
I thought that was hilarious. Yes. Don't think that's like, you know, was
both the opening and both the opening and
oh yeah, yeah, the opening, yeah, the opening press credits was like probably one of the best parts of the movie. Just like watching like Frieza, just like, this is like exactly what his hell would be.
Yeah, it's his own personal hell.
This is absolutely it right here. Yep. Happiness and joy is like, like the whole like speech about it being like asinine, whatever. I can't remember what you said. I was like, that's great. Oh, welcome back. No. It's like that scream. Like, that is like the best horror scream I think I've heard in Dragon Ball Z.
Oh my god, there were some great screams in this one.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, because like, you get to sit there and like kind of think about, you know, people like voice acting in the booth or whatever. It's like Goku getting kicked around after he gets shot through the chest. It's like, damn, oh, yeah, man, yeah, yeah. That stuff is great. Just yeah, like absolutely. On a voice acting level.
Mr. Sean Schimmel. There we go. I always say his name wrong. It's Schimmel. I always start it as Schimmel. And so that's why I feel like correct me, Schimmel. Yeah.
I mean, I might be pronouncing it wrong too.
Oh god.
I think it's Schimmel.
Okay. Please.
I think it's Schimmel. I think it's Schimmel.
Oh my god. Oh no. That poor man. High school was horrible for him. Alright. So I guess we must talk about the movie then, huh?
Yeah. So I talking about like, because you had brought up the end and I wondered if you had meant a certain something, and if you had a question lingering in your mind about how I felt about a certain thing near the end.
Oh no, I think I knew the answer, but please tell the audience what you thought about the ending.
So basically, Frieza kind of, through a cheap shot, gains the upper hand on Goku, and so Goku leaves the fight, so Vegeta can take his turn. And Vegeta's just, like, mopping the fucking floor with him. He's kicking ass. Yeah. And,
he transforms into Super Saiyan God Super Saiyan.
Yes.
Which surprises Frieza all the, you know, yeah. You know, it's like,
because he didn't even know he had the ability to turn into a Super Saiyan to begin with.
Yeah.
And, he's got him. He's about to kill him. And it's like, yes, finally, like, this guy who like oppressed Vegeta for his entire life and, you know, killed his homeworld and his entire race, he's about to get vengeance on him, and then Frieza blows up the planet, which I kind of half expected. And there's the solution, because it was brought up earlier in the movie, which is really great, that Whis can turn back time.
Okay, I'm gonna stop right there for a second.
Okay,
I am a opponent of like something time travel, Deus Ex Machina,
yeah,
stuff in movies, except for obviously Back to the Future. That makes sense for that, right? Obviously. But like this right here was just like, I just like sitting going, really? I can see like why they did it in this movie right here. I'm kind of hoping they don't do it in Super,
right?
So I'm like, I mean, although then again, I heard a great explanation for this, though, as far as a good defense. I mean, which one's better? Have them go back in time, or use the Dragon Balls again.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I guess it's true.
Right, right. But yeah, I because you know, it's a great plan on Frieza's part to like.
Oh yeah,
you know,
Frieza, by the way, was a great tactician the entire time. Like he had like this whole backup strategies going on. I mean, blowing the plan was kind of a douchey move, but it makes sense tactically. Yeah. I mean, like even Beerus was like, that was a good idea.
Yes.
He knows what's up.
But, okay, yeah, so, like, going back to... So, like, he blows up the planet, but everyone else... Yeah, so, like, they... There's, like, a few of them are able to survive thanks to Whis, and they turn back time, and
Goku gets to fly in and secure the kill.
Yeah.
Of course, as Goku always does, instead of being like, hey, Vegeta, blast him right now. Like, he's going to blow up the planet. Don't give him a second.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's not guaranteed to work, though. I mean, because Vegeta was already powering up his blast to kill him.
Or Vegeta would be like, huh? And then
yeah, exactly. And then, actually, I thought of something. I thought, you know what? My version of this, how this would go. It's just like Goku kill steals or whatever, right? Vegeta yells at Whis. Whis turns back time again. Vegeta then finally kills Frieza. But Goku over here is upset because he wanted to kill Frieza. So they turn back time again. They keep going back in time over and over again. And finally they both kill Frieza at the same time.
Well, as a compromise. One thing I was thinking of was very early in the movie, they were talking about how, like, Whis was telling them, Goku and Vegeta, that, like, they need to work together. And it's like, I was kind of worried about it, kind of not, because it would be nice. But at the same time, it's, like, kind of a cliche. It's like, oh, they work together at the end to stop him. So I kind of thought, like, it would be sort of a simultaneous thing or something like that. Or, like, they kind of form a plan with Vegeta. Mm-hmm. When they turn back time, but nope, Goku just swoops in and kills Steels,
yep. Mr. Scene Stealer over there.
Yeah.
Scene Stealing Hack over there, Mr. yeah. I keep on thinking, like, if you've ever seen Galaxy Quest.
No.
Never mind. So other than that part of the ending, everything else I liked.
Oh, yeah, like, and, you know, it wasn't even a bad ending. It was just kind of like, I knew it was going to happen. So it was like, yeah, this is typical, but, I mean, still, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. I did enjoy one thing that I think, I don't know if you'll agree with this or not, but Frieza was never really much of a threat once Goku arrived.
Yeah.
Which is something that you, normally it's always like, oh, he's going to get beaten down, he's going to rise back up again, you know.
His shirt's going to get torn up, and he's going to use a spirit bomb.
No, this entire time was like, at first it was like, okay, so they're kind of evenly matched, and they made up a really good point in there. Frieza's never trained him, trained his entire life, basically, so he's always just always been this strong. Mm-hmm. Which kind of breaks a lot of canon, but don't worry about it. it's true. But then also the fact that Frieza would make the mistake of not, like, perfecting the form.
Yeah.
Yet, and that actually makes sense, because that's something that, if you haven't trained your life, you don't understand the fact that you have to actually keep it up, whatever, to actually train with this new form. Right. Frieza's just used to having all this power.
Yeah. It's the spoiled rich kid mentality. Yeah,
basically. And I love that, though. I did love that fact that that would be his weakness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Going further back in the movie.
I'm going from front, from back to front now.
So yeah, I know.
We're reading it like a Japanese manga, but
yeah, we're reading it the wrong way. this is what the back cover page is there for. People like people like Ten Shenhan, Master Roshi, Krillin actually getting to do something in the beginning of the movie was really great.
I've read a couple discussion boards about this stuff, like how Master Roshi keep up with the Frieza warriors. Two reasons for that. Mm-hmm. One, Master Roshi has never fought in 100% power, except for, like, I think twice his entire time that he's ever, like, been on screen.
Right.
Number two, they actually gave the explanation, like, early in the movie where they said that they kept talking about their technology and how this technology is great, blah, 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 and all this is, like, make them so powerful. It's like, they're not training their men anymore to be these strong warriors.
Yeah.
And so they're just taking people and they're just giving, hey, here's your weapon and good to go, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So, yes, Master Roshi at 100% power probably could fight them.
Also, who the fuck cares?
Yes, exactly.
It was awesome.
Exactly. But when you see this skinny dude, like, buff up, he's like, yes.
But also,
everybody in the theater cheered when that happened.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like he was, you know, doing as well as, like, Gohan was. Like, he was struggling to keep up.
Oh, yeah.
But, it made sense in that sort of way. But it was just really nice to see those guys doing something.
Yeah.
However, man, I hate that Android 18 gets sidelined all the time now.
Yeah.
Although the scene was very funny.
Oh, he's so cool.
He's so cool.
So cool. Yeah. Of course, there are people that are sprouting out sexism in that one because, oh, why is woman staying home and blah, 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 blah.
I mean, it kind of is a
You don't know what the family life is like there. You don't know if, like, was it Marin? Right? Marion? Yeah. Marin. The little kid there might be more attached to the mother than Krillin. You don't know. Okay? So you're the one who's assuming stuff, all right, Tumblr?
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's a good defense, Chris.
Thank you. But this movie here did prove one thing, that something that I always knew would happen.
What?
Pilaf is going to be the one bringing the end of the world. He is always, like, going to be the guy that's going to be, like, the one that, like, brings about destruction and stuff. I just, like, I've always thought about that. I'm like, this movie here just proves it.
Yes, and...
Freaking Shu with the whole, like, 1 million zinni. It's like...
Like, they're sitting there thinking about their next wish, and he just jumps in with, "We want 1 million zinni!" Like, you little bastard. That's great.
Yeah. Well, it kind of reminds me of when...
Oolong.
Yeah.
In Dragon Ball.
Yeah, Oolong, whenever he, like, decides to wish steal and get the, was it the panties or whatever?
Yeah.
It's like, what? It's like, suddenly just, like, jumps in on that one.
Yeah.
Did you at all feel weird about the sudden inclusion of this character, what's the crap, the patrolman
character? Yeah, at first I did, because he's suddenly there, and every, like, Bulma knows who he is, and it's like, you know, you could go back and kind of,
it's like, wait, go back for a second,
who? Yeah. But, like, all, you know, he's just suddenly there, and everyone knows who he is, and he's, you know, just kind of doing his thing. It's like, oh, like, we're supposed to know this or something. And I kind of want, like, I was thinking back, like, did we meet him at some point? And I just forgot about it. Like,
no, he's just, nope. He's new for the movie. I'm sure that in Dragon Ball Super, though, they'll
be. Yeah, and I was about to say this.
Yeah.
It's been confirmed that the first two seasons of Dragon Ball Super are going to be retellings of the two movies. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't really understand how it was going to work with Battle of Gods. Obviously, I haven't seen any of the episodes yet because I'm a sinner and I don't watch subtitled.
It's okay, everybody. I've been keeping up. It's fine.
Yes. And I mean, it's not like I don't know what's going to happen. Unless they do change things, which would be pretty interesting.
Oh, there's a few things that are different. Like, okay. They also explain a lot of things, too, that you didn't, like, know about, like, backstory stuff.
Right, and but I'm definitely, like, for this movie, I'm looking forward to seeing them fill in some of the blanks, because they did, like, while Battle of Gods really took its time to kind of catch everyone up, then it gets to the fighting. This one, like, skipped right past the bullshit, and it
like, it was a lot more action-y, yeah.
Yeah, like, they jump right into the plot, they jump right into the fight, they don't, like, it's like, oh, you know, Goku's gonna go, like, Super Saiyan, Super Saiyan 2, Super Saiyan 3, then he's gonna, you know, do the God power-up, and then he's gonna do Super Saiyan God, Super Saiyan, and then it's gonna be a big fight.
Nope, straight to Blooper yep. Saiyan.
Yeah, right to Blooper Saiyan. And I like how they kind of acknowledge how silly the gold form is. I don't know if they do it in the Japanese version or not, but he's just like, yes, I know that this is kind of dumb or whatever, but let's just call this Golden Frieza.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's right. That was funny. We'll keep it simple. This is Golden Frieza. It's fine. It's great. I was like, thank you.
He turns directly to the audience. He's like, "I'm just gonna call this Gold Frieza. You okay with that? Okay, let's."
No, it's like back to the movie. He turns the camera. He's like, "It's Gold Frieza." Wink. Like, he smiles a little. Ding. Whatever.
Yeah.
I will say this though, that I like the fact that some people, I guess people, maybe people don't like it, but, like, Gohan being weaker because it actually makes sense for him being
yeah.
like, dad and, like, not training, and the whole tracksuit thing was hilarious.
Yeah.
It's like, are you wearing a tracksuit? Yeah. I didn't have time to prepare, all right? Yeah. It's like, come on.
I wish that Gohan would have been able to do, because he was holding his own with like the army or whatever. But
yeah, I mean,
I'll do a little bit more before he gets like knocked down right away.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair though, in Battle of Gods, he was like he had a head smashed in with the Majipu. So. Yeah,
which is weird quickly. That he wasn't even there for this one.
What do you mean? Oh, Majin Buu. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, you have an hour to prepare for this great invasion. Buu doesn't. Right. I don't know if Buu has about ability to sense energy or not. So it's like,
right, true.
And Buu probably didn't care. He's about eating his food anyway. So
It does sort of bother me a little, like not really to a point where it's, you know, detracting points from anything, but like that like it's this very powerful character that could make a difference in fights. Even though, you know, he doesn't at all in Battle of Gods for some reason.
Yeah.
And he's not being utilized whatsoever.
Well, I mean, Majin Buu, though, was weaker. Well, actually, he became weaker after he split from Evil Buu, whatever.
Yeah.
Once Evil Buu split, like, he became, like, weaker than Super Saiyan 3. Like, right. He was already weaker than Super Saiyan 3 in the first place. But, like, he became even more weaker. Like, he was not...
Even more weaker.
Yeah, even, like, even worse. Like, his power level just... Which, okay, there's your power level. Can I go on to... Can I please bring up the worst offense of this entire thing? I'm getting sick and tired of this.
Yeah.
If I spend about 4 months training, I could level up to 1.3 million.
Yeah. But that's... It makes sense for Frieza to think like, oh yeah, that's gonna make a big difference. Levels, those still matter to me.
Goku was probably at like a billion trillion by the time like he fought Boo.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It doesn't matter. So
stop. Exactly. Exactly. Chris. Exactly. The point.
This is stupid. I will say I loved the little bit of history you start seeing in there where it's like showing the aftermath, because something that was never shown was the aftermath of the Frieza Force after Frieza died.
Yeah.
And King Cold died. What happened to the Frieza Force? Like, how has it been like going along? You finally see like it's obviously it's failing. It's doing a terrible job keeping its planets in line. They're losing planets. Yeah. So it's like that right there. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I've been because
the closest
about,
thing we ever had to that was the two guys who show up from like
they just show up all randomly or whatever. It's like
yeah
that was in
the Yo Son Goku thing.
Yeah, Yo Son Goku and his friends return, I think is what it's called. You know what I had a problem with
what I had a problem with
was that there were no epic moments in this whole thing except for like the one time when Vegeta turned Super Saiyan God.
Yeah,
like that was actually something that was like cool. I think everything else beyond that was like there was like in Battle Gods there was like at least two or three moments in there that you were just like, this is like one of the coolest things ever. Like Battle Gods, they had like Super Saiyan 3 Goku getting just trashed by Beerus.
Yeah.
That's my Bulma.
Yeah.
The only way to label that one. And then also like whenever Goku like goes out of his god form, but like
the cave thing.
Those are epic moments. Those right here had like
It kinda had two-ish.
It was like Frieza being resurrected. And those little tiny gross chunks that are like all like yellowy. Yeah. That was so gross. Like peel off hands on the eye. The
eyeball.
Like, oh. It was like, ooh, gross. Grody.
No, I was okay with that. Like I definitely figured going into this one, like you watch like, you know, stuff with the cast or whatever and they're hyping it up. It's like I know this is just them talking, you know, whatever. I knew Battle of Gods was gonna, you know, like it's gonna be this big, you know, this big hype movie. Because, you know, Dragon Ball Z is coming back after all this time. And then I knew with this one it wasn't going to be able to live up to that. So like I knew they weren't gonna try to. So like I'm definitely okay with this sort of thing. This was more like of a casual, very fun thing to watch, whereas the other one was like a big Dragon Ball Z movie. And yeah. I'm totally okay with this one.
It was like an extended long episode, pretty much.
Yeah.
This would probably be, I guess, about 30 or 50 episodes or so of Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, all
I'm assuming.
All spanning 5 minutes.
Yeah. And about half of that time. Being Goku powering up to.
Yes.
Saiyan God. Yes. And then, like, one episode of Vegeta powering up.
Yeah.
For some reason.
But there are, there are plenty of. This one was a lot funnier, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they played a little more with the characters, since they had like so much, like they had fewer characters that to deal with.
Yeah,
but, like the last one they had like all the characters all at once. It's kind of like you can't really play that much. Like you play like with the group of characters, but it's like a lot easier to kind of play with the individual ones.
Right, and like everyone kind of just got one or two lines in.
Dude, like Tien Shinhan was awesome in that.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that they finally made the joke, like about Yamcha.
Yeah, everyone in the audience like. Just started laughing. He's like, yeah, I didn't think Yamcha and Chiaotzu would be very wise to bring.
Yeah, I was like, oh,
shit. Tien knows what's up.
Yeah, oh yeah. Tien got to use his tri-beam,
mm-hmm.
which is great.
And Krillin got to use his Destructo Disc.
Yeah, and which I love when Piccolo, they announce their Piccolo attack still.
Got the special beam cannon.
Yeah.
You know...
Remember how it used to be like you had to power up the special beam cannon? It was a whole thing. It took for like to like, you know, two episodes of power up, and all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's great now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's fine.
I'm okay with it because, like, you know, he's gotten stronger since then. It's like, you know, now, you know, as people who are watching this have watched Kai, which at least at the start of it was very, it was more faithful to the Japanese version, so it didn't have like the stupid names that the Americans gave Kimikus, the attacks.
Whatever the heck.
Makonko Sapo. Kiko Ho. Kienzan.
Kasun Tight.
That, I mean, like, I'd rather hear that than Destructo Disc.
Yeah. That's not a problem about some Japanese shows that they're like, no matter what show you're watching, they're like having an attack like that. They always announce their attack.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Really? It's like, yeah, either don't do it or use the Japanese version.
Yeah.
The name. Because then it just doesn't sound as lame.
Yeah.
It's like they're just shouting something. It's like, okay, that's great. although, like, I think I've told you this, like, my one little problem with Kai is that, like, it could have been the most consistent dub, but, like, halfway through, they stop using Japanese attack names and go back to Destructo Disc and shit.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, ah.
Ah, well, that's okay.
Come on, guys. Krillin changed the name of it halfway through the series.
It's okay. You realize he spoke English.
Yeah. I've been calling you Kururin this whole time.
Kururin, no. Oh, God.
Obviously, it's Krillin.
Yeah. All right. Tien Shinhan.
Yeah.
So Tien. And Kami Sinan.
Yeah.
Master Roshi.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's your Japanese type names. Or Shenlong.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah, Shenlong.
Yeah.
Hmm. You know, I prefer Hercule or Shinran.
Yeah, what a great name, Hercule.
You know, when the crowd's cheering Mr. Satan, it sounds a little no, strange.
When they're just chanting Satan. I love it.
Yeah. So now we know Satan. Tyler is a Satanist over here.
Yes. Yeah.
All right.
I'm just over here drawing pentagrams.
Yeah. You know, I think that my favorite character is, like, from, like, the... it's kind of like lately. I think it's like Whis. I think Whis is my favorite character now.
Yeah, he's a really great character. But oh, we were talking about Jocko earlier.
Jocko,
it was
yeah,
weird that
yeah.
he kind of just jumped in, but like, you know, later on in the movie, like once you kind of just got like you accepted the fact that he's just gonna be there, like he was very fun as well. And like,
yeah,
if he's gonna be a regular character, I have no problem with that.
Apparently there was like some Bruce Lee stuff that he was doing. I didn't notice.
Oh yeah.
There's like a couple things that he did. I was like, oh yeah, I guess it is kind of Bruce Lee-ish.
Yeah, yeah.
For him, it was mostly just like whenever he's in the ship, whenever he brought Bulma, and she's like, oh, I'm gonna leave. It's like everybody knows that he's not gonna leave. He's gonna come in. He's gonna fight and all that stuff. It's like, We have to do this old scene here with him talking about, I don't want to do it, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine, I'll do it.
What if I give you a Scooby snack? No. What if I give you two Scooby snacks?
Rookie.
Rookie, rookie.
Wee!
All right. Anyway. How did you feel about Piccolo having an issue with that one Frieza soldier, though?
I don't know. To me, they definitely nerfed Piccolo quite a bit. Because,
sort of makes sense, though, same time. Because, he's pretty much babysitter Piccolo now, so.
Yeah, I did like the scene where he was
rocking a baby back and
babysitter
forth.
Piccolo.
Yep. So I'm wondering if, that's, kind of his thing now. He's, not, like,
he's well, not cause, really. Well, it makes sense, because, you never even. They never even really touch on Piccolo being sort of this father figure for Gohan, in, the ending of the original series, or GT or anything like that. But in this, he's looking after Gohan's kid because Gohan knows he can trust him. Yeah. I really like that. There's a very nice character dynamic there.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it also kind of makes sense, sort of. I mean, let's see you fight, 100, 200 people, whatever, and then have enough energy to
fight some guy else. Listen, motherfucker, don't tell me to fight people. I'm like Yajirobe status over here.
Yeah. You know, that's something else that we haven't seen in a long time. Is
Yajirobe. Yeah, he wasn't even in the last movie.
I know.
I think Akira Toriyama forgot about him.
It's like back with the Tails and all that stuff. Yeah. Oh, so you got Tails and Trunks and Goten.
Yeah, they weren't there.
Yeah.
Which is, I'm not upset about.
I was a little bit this at one point I was, but then once Krillin and Tien and all that started fighting, I was like, you know what? Screw them. Although I would have liked, though, Frieza seeing a younger Trunks and just
that's the one thing. That's the one thing.
Wait.
Another thing, hold on. I was thinking about this before.
That?
I was thinking about this before, I wonder if, Trunks is going to, fight Frieza at all, Kid Trunks.
That'd be hilarious.
That sort of him looking at a younger version of the guy who killed him, shouldn't he be older? But, then I started thinking, does Trunks know about future Trunks? And does he... No.
That's a good question. I wonder if he does.
Does he know that he killed Frieza?
Probably not.
Yeah, that's.
He's too busy having a girlfriend now. So.
Yeah. Oh man. Yeah, I was gonna bring that up earlier. I have a boyfriend named Trunks, and he's gonna beat you up. It's dude, you're 40. it was cute in the first movie.
No, she's not. She is 9 years old now, so it's fine.
It was cute in the first movie, the weird sort of thing going on there. It was I didn't even really consider it a real thing. But then her saying that was oh, dude, no. So, Chris, I need you to type this in for me.
Okay.
Into the Google. Trunks and my rule 34.
Trunks and my rule 34. Okay.
We'll post the results on illuminationcinema.com on the front page.
Okay. I Google search it for you. What else do you need me to do? I just closed out of it, too. Is that okay?
Oh, that's good.
Thanks.
Man, oh man, oh man.
What else?
Is there to talk about with this movie?
I will say this, though. I love Frieza being back.
Yes.
I Frieza is one of my favorite bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yes.
So it's really nice to see him find back and actually be able to be something as powerful again. But then so I guess maybe like Goku showing him up and it's like, oh, okay. But I'm fine with that though. Same time.
Yeah, that's really what should be happening, because it's Frieza oh yeah, I'm just gonna train for a little while and then I'm gonna be able to beat Goku. That would be his mentality. But, having him doing that and then being, an actual real threat is completely ridiculous. And that's, why I was very on the fence about it.
It's like, you know, okay, you know, I'll suspend my disbelief for it.
Yeah.
You know, I'll suspend my disbelief on already from the Dragon Ball level. The fact that they were self-aware with that and they ended up like integrating it into the movie, mm-hmm. I was very happy with.
Yeah. And I did like the, like, we go back to when you talk about Vegeta kicking butt, basically, and just, like, not even, like, just being totally serious about this whole fight.
Yeah.
Him actually deflecting and aiming the blast right towards, what's his name, Sorbet?
Yeah, that
guy. I was like, that was a really
eliminating
cool
that threat so, like, he couldn't get the cheap shot in again.
Yeah. Like, that was very well planned. I was like, yes. That's great. That was really good. I liked Beerus being on the sideline to kind of just kind of like giving commentary.
Yeah.
I enjoy his commentary. He's like he and Whis turned like sports announcers. Yeah. Suddenly. Although what I expected in this movie right here when I went into it was thinking that like Frieza was actually gonna be stronger than Beerus. Oh. But then I realized that wouldn't make sense.
Yeah, that would have been ridiculous, and I'm glad they didn't do that.
Yeah, now I can watch it, I'm like, yeah, I'm glad they did this way instead of doing it the way I was thinking of it, and I was like, oh. Then Goku overtakes Beerus or whatever, basically, and it's like, right, not yet, because Beerus is only using like 70% or whatever it was of his power in Battle of Gods. It's like, there's no way Goku is caught up to that yet. You know, he can't even hit Whis yet, so it's like,
Yeah, but man, I'm really hoping, like, they'll expand on this in Dragon Ball Super, and then
Wait, there was one more thing that happened in this movie that was wonderful.
Okay,
Vegeta and Goku arguing over their turn. He's up there like she like kicks Goku in the face. You're like, oh my god!
Oh
like,
yeah! Vegeta's like, flying up and like he just starts kicking the crap out of Goku.
And Frieza's like, just like, really? But
it was supposed to be my turn.
Yeah. I did like how like Vegeta kind of like faked out, gave a little fake out towards Frieza about joining him, whatever. Like Frieza's like, oh, he's gonna join me. It's like, no, he's not going to. Why would he?
Yeah,
you're an idiot. So it's like, Frieza's a good tactician, but stepped in
obviously
some parts.
He's missed some stuff.
He's missed some. He forgot the fact that I killed your father, killed your planet, you know, all this other stuff that's happened to you. Yeah.
I killed Vegeta, my father, the planet, or me.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh man. But yeah, I'm really looking forward to seeing them expand upon this in Super, you know, like in 2 years when I'm able to see that in English. And
just watch it right now.
I won't be able to. I'm not gonna do it. You can't make me, Chris. No, you're not the boss of me, Chris.
The point is that this is a good movie. Obviously, not gonna be as good as Battle of Gods.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of Dragon Ball Z, go see it. It's wonderful. You know, it's very enjoyable. And I can't wait to keep watching Dragon Ball Super like a real man.
Uh huh. And I can't wait to see what they do after this.
Yep. And for Jamie, should we start giving a rating?
Oh yes, of course, we have to give a rating for Jamie.
I give it a rating of 7 Dragon Balls.
I was gonna do that.
I know you were. I beat you to the punch, like how Goku beat Vegeta to the punch in killing Frieza.
Yeah, you're the Goku of this podcast, Chris.
Yeah,
and I'm the Vegeta.
You didn't realize actually. I'd go back in time.
Jamie actually ruined the podcast. He jumped in here and he blew up the mics, and you had to swoop in and save it from him.
You start talking about legacy and and how like Frieza's hand didn't match up properly to the coffee
of course
mug.
Yeah, he did. How does like how he couldn't figure out how to use his deodorant. Anyway,
it's all staying in.
I know.
I love these inside jokes the way I love to understand.
Yeah, everyone is really appreciating this and all the context we're giving. So anyway, check out Battle of Gods. And also check out Resurrection F.
Oh, Christ,
I don't know. I doubt
I doubt that it's gonna like still be, like, I think there's only like one day that it's still playing, so like obviously we're not gonna get this out in time, but
it's the 12th.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh wow. Get this whenever they release it, if you missed the cinema release, and I give it 7 Dragon Balls.
I've already said that, thanks.
I know. Okay.
Alright, bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. Be sure to leave your correspondence and subscribe for more. For updates on this show and our other projects, check out illuminationcinema.com.